Tonight's performance of Itmar, which will also be seen by television viewers in the Concert Hall of Broadcasting House, is honoured by the presence of Their Majesties the King and Queen and Her Royal Highness the Princess Margaret.
Your Majesties, Your Royal Highness, ladies and gentlemen, Itmar.
Gentlemen to see you, Miss Hotchkiss.
Did he give you his name?
Oh, yes, miss. It's a short supply of the ministry.
Oh, dear. Tell him I'm engaged.
Engaged, Madame Hotchkiss? Have I been jilted?
Oh, Sir Short, I felt I couldn't face you after what happened last week. Mr. Handley making us pretend we were married.
Oh, to me, that was the splice of life.
You naughty man. You mustn't make those overtures. Now, where is Mr. Handley? Good gracious, someone's coming down the chimney.
Oof. Well, is my place black? Hello, folks.
Mr. Handley, what is the idea of coming down the chimney?
Well, it's the only way I could get in here. You know, there's a man outside actually cleaning the walls with a piece of bread. Anyway, what's going on?
Mr. Handler.
Mother. Where's my bottle?
What is this chimney nonsense?
Well, I'm rehearsing for Christmas. You see, I'm Stafford Claus, and if you're not a good girl, I'll put a photograph of Mrs. Strachey in your stocking. What's fighting you, Sir Short?
Well, I have some important news for you. The government wants you to visit Broadcasting House and make a report.
Well, I shall want a Russian bodyguard.
A Russian bodyguard?
Yes, 12 big men who don't say nothing. They just keep moojit along.
Well, anything you like, you'll have an absolutely free hand. Go to it.
All right, I'll start by visiting the dungeon where they keep the studio audiences.
I'm sure Mr. Handley understands what you want, Sir Short.
Oh, splendid. Bye-bye, babyface.
Ta-ta, talcum powder. You know, you can tell he's a permanent civil servant by his tea-stained moustache. He'd do anything for a lump of sugar. Well, now, investigate Broadcasting House. Well, I've often wondered what went on in there.
Mr. Handley, this is your greatest hour, your finest story.
Ah, but you haven't heard my latest.
I don't want to.
Oh, it's quite all right. It's a fairy story about the American who came over here for a square meal.
What a piece of nonsense.
Piece of nonsense? That's what he said when they gave him a dog biscuit with a pilchard on it.
Oh!
She is nervous tonight. I wonder why. Well, last week I was the Minister of Matrimony and now Inspector of the BBC. From the sublime to the sublime. Well, I better get going.
Ah, there you are, you dear man. Now, come along this afternoon because I did so want you to meet the family.
Down, Corgi. I mean, Upsy.
That's not Upsy. That's my daughter Patsy's puppy, Popsy. She's such a pet, isn't she, Patsy?
Yes, Mamsie.
Down, Popsy.
That wasn't Popsy, you silly man. That was Patsy. Popsy's the puppy, isn't she, Patsy?
Yes, Mamsie.
Down, Patsy. I mean, Upsy's puppy, Popsy.
Who is this funny man, Mamsie?
Quiet, Patsy.
But that isn't Patsy. That's Patsy's sister, Nancy.
Oh, so that's Nancy behind Patsy. Well, they're as like as two green peas, aren't they, Duxie? May I pat your puppy, Patsy?
That's not Patsy's puppy, Popsy. That's Nancy's cottie, Joxy.
Nancy's cottie, Joxy? Well, I'd go and call a taxi. Down, Joxy's, Duxy, Patsy, Poppy, Nancy's, Poppy's, Patsy.
Well, we must go. Kiss Patsy and Nancy goodbye.
My word, Patsy and Nancy. What cold noses you've got, see.
Oh, you silly man. That wasn't Patsy and Nancy. That was Joxy and Popsy.
Well, I'll go and see a man about a catsy.
Good afternoon.
You've been listening to the Peak's Good Cause. Well, I can't stand noises like I used to.
Oh, good Baldy, I've the key fit bad.
Oh, yes.
I want to talk to you about the power of by Dover Better.
Yes.
For instance, where would you be without a brain?
Working for the BBC, of course.
Dodo, you see, your body's controlled by your mind, yes. And it's the will that counts. You remember the old Latin saying, per ardua ad atle? No, the one I'm thinking of is mens sana in corpore sano. You know what that means.
Of course. Don't sing in the corporation baths.
Nonsense. It means a sound mind is a sound body. Now, have you got any complaints at the moment?
Well, of course I have. I'm British, aren't I?
No, I mean, is anything the matter with you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I've got a mole on my back.
Oh, well, that's easy. Now, when you go to bed, keep saying, I'm losing my mole, I'm losing my mole. And what happens?
Well, I've got a hedgehog instead. Tell me, haven't you got anything matter with you?
Well, I've only got cold feet.
Cold feet? Well, why don't you say to yourself, my feet are getting warmer?
All right, I will. My feet are getting warmer. My feet are getting warmer. Oh, they're on fire.
Lovely, the feet's lit up. Well, goodbye. What? Why do these things happen to me? I'll have to keep a bucket handy.
A bucket of brandy, sir. I don't mind if I do.
Hello, Colonel. I say, Colonel, your nose is brighter than ever. You'd better watch your meter or you'll be getting a letter from the Gaslight and Conk Company. What's the matter?
My friend Willie Wallop is a bit upset this morning. Aren't you, Willie?
Quite right, Humphrey, quite right.
Well, what's he done? Drunk his last drop of basic for spite?
It's not that, sir.
Oh?
But we've just had an accident. We were taking back the empties from a little social gathering when Willie dropped them, and now we shall lose our deposit.
Well, it must have been a very liberal party you went to. Tell me, what's what was the real trouble?
Well, we got into a political argument, and some fellow asked Willie what he thought was the safest seat. And Willie said, at this time of night, the floor. And sat on it, didn't you, Willie?
Quite right, Humphrey, quite right.
Willie, will you come and speak at our Rotary Club next week? Only for a couple of hours or so. By the way, Colonel, have you done much public speaking?
Only once, sir. And then the fool of the chairman offered me a glass of water. I went as pale as a sheet, didn't I, Willie?
Quite right, Humphrey, quite white.
Quite bright, Willie, quite bright. You'll be broadcasting next. I say, Colonel, you're looking very thoughtful. What's worrying you besides the price of it?
I've made a momentous discovery, sir.
Oh, something that's going to change your whole mode of drinking?
Yes, sir. From now on, I'm going to drink beer and whiskey in turn.
Why?
Well, you see, I find that if I drink nothing but beer, I'm full before I've had enough. And if I drink nothing but whiskey, I've had enough before I'm full. Oh.
Good day, sir.
Good day.
Good day. No wonder the colonel had to leave the Indian Army so suddenly. What a scandal it was. He eloped with his commanding officer's quota. And was runned out of the regiment, poor old chap.
Mr. Handler, you're due at Broadcasting House right away.
Well, I'm just off.
But you can't go dressed like that. Pajamas, false nose and spats.
Well, why not? They represent home, light and third program. So long, Hotch. I'll make a lightning tour and be back in time for tea. Good gracious, it's a staff car for me.
Here you are, sir.
There's a turkey in the back seat. Just my luck, and I've left the stuffing in the cushion at my office. Broadcasting House driver, and step on it. No, not the turkey, you fathead, the accelerator.
Here we are, sir.
Well, that was quick. What's on the clock, a halfpenny? Gosh, a carpet and a reception room. This is jolly decent of them. Where's the big five? Ah! Good morning, gentlemen.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Richards. This way, please.
Mr. Richards?
Aren't you Gordon Richards?
No, I'm Tommy Handley. I always give it to the BBC on my knees.
Tommy Handley, the comedian?
That's right.
How dare you come in the front door? Get behind the back!
Now, that must be the director of the spoken word. Well, now I'm as ask it round the BBC.
Oh, pardon me a moment. I'm the BBC insurance man.
Yes.
I've got something that'll make you sit up.
I never wear cavalry corsets.
No. It's a Christmas dinner insurance.
Oh.
For instance, you wake up on Christmas morning with an uneasy feeling. What's happened?
I've been smoking a pipe under the blanket.
No, you silly man. You just remembered you've forgotten the Christmas pudding. Now what are you going to do?
Ring up the workhouse.
Oh, I see. That's very, very good. But seriously, though, you must have a pudding. Now, you phone me up, and half an hour later, when you go downstairs, there's the family in the hall, gasping with astonishment. What's happened?
I forgot to put my trousers on.
No. It's me with the pudding. But wait a moment. You start to eat it, and it tastes funny. What do?
I take off the pudding cloth and start again.
You silly man. You see, the pudding is burnt. That's where I step in. The sauce is burnt, too. That's where I step in.
Well, that's a pair of step-ins, and this is where you step out. Ta-ta.
Oh, thank you.
Well. BBC insurance man, my foot. He'll never sell them a policy. Oh, well. Alone in broadcasting house. I wonder what's in this little cupboard. I'll open it. Gracious me, pink pills by the thousand. Must be the radio doctor's lunch. Anyway, I'll ask somebody. Pardon me, can you direct me?
I'm a stranger here, sir. I just brought Mr. Stuart McPherson's washing.
What? Why, it's Mona Lott. Let me have a look at the washing. Good gracious, does he wear these? He is old-fashioned. Well, do you wash for the BBC now, Mona?
Well, sir, you can't be fussy these days.
Well, you may meet a new fiancé here, Mona. How would you like to marry an announcer?
Not much, sir. He'd probably use his real voice at home, and all the glamour would be gone.
All the glamour, eh? Well, there wasn't much glamour about that chiropodist you were going to marry.
I'm not now, sir. You see, the other night I asked him what made him fall in love with me, and he said I was the only person he'd ever seen with 11 hammer toes.
Well. Let's have a look. No, well, never mind. Well, that finished him, I suppose, eh?
Yes, sir. But I'm all right now. I've taken up with a bookie. He says I was his final fling, so he calls me his little November handicap.
Well, at your age, you ought to make a very good autumn double.
He's ever so methodical, sir. Keeps all his appointments in a little book.
Oh?
Last Monday he wrote the time and place of our next meeting.
What was it, 10 to 1, the field?
No, sir. It was Sandown. Just when the last race started, he gave me his great big bag to hold with Honest Horace painted on it.
Well, what happened then?
Well, when he saw what had won, he took his boots off and ran across a ploughed field.
Well, I suppose the next time you saw him, he'd grown a moustache and changed his name to Big Hearted Arthur, eh? Well, you are fond of him, aren't you?
Oh, yes, sir. He's got such quaint ways. The other day he asked me my age, and when I told him, he opened my mouth, looked at my teeth, and said, "Go on, you're older than that."
Well, never mind, Mona. I've got another story for you that'll make you laugh. Now, did you hear of the peer who dreamt he was making a speech in the House of Lords, and when he woke up he found that he was?
What? Which peer was that, sir? The one at Southend?
Oh. Mona, haven't you ever yet seen a joke?
What's the use, sir? It's being so cheerful that keeps me going. Oh.
She is a kindly person. She never puts a warm baby on a cold slab. She always cools the baby down first.
Excuse me, you're Mr. Handley?
Well, that's right. I'm touring the BBC.
Oh, I've been told off to take you round. I'm afraid we must use the stairs.
I suppose the lift is only for big pots and teapots. All right, well, come on.
First floor studios, announcer's card room, and the office of the DAOM and the SPQR.
Where's the PBI? On the sixth floor? What's going on in here?
This is the highbrow department. Please be very quiet. They're very easily upset.
Well, they are highbrow. Aren't they highbrow? Look at all these big black hats and dirty collars hanging up. What's going on?
If you peep in, you'll be just in time to see the senior announcer. But don't make a noise. He's very temperamental.
By Jove, what an intellectual type.
This is the third program. Thursday concert with music by Betch, DeBoozy and Chayotsky.
So that's Alvar Liddell. I always imagine him a much rougher type than that. Well, well, what's next?
In here, they're broadcasting today in Parliament.
Oh, today in Parliament. Oh, I'd like to hear that.
Get out of it, get out of it.
Will my honourable and learned friend put a sock in it?
Don't behave like a little twerp.
This is outrageous.
There, there, there. Mr. Speaker, as a member for Sifton Park, I protest.
Take that.
Oh, oh, here, here, here. Who threw that spud?
The opposition.
I bet that was a debate on the school leaving age. And that reminds me, where do you hold a school's broadcast?
That's just here. You can peep in. There's a transmission on.
Now, children, are you all ready to start? Good. Do you want one, Josie?
No, thank you.
What about you, Mary?
No, thanks.
And you, Harry?
Yes, I want to have one. And another. Twist. Oh, bat.
A pontoon school, well. I'd join in if I'd got my special pack with me.
Now, is there anything else you'd like to see on this floor, Mr. Hanley?
Well, yes, I'd like to see the chump who chooses the gramophone records I don't like.
Well, he's in here. Mr. Groves, there's a gentleman who'd like to see you.
Just a moment, I want to put this record on.
You played that backwards, didn't you?
Yes, I always play them backwards. I get so tired of playing them the right way around.
Well, let me hear another one.
Right-ho, here you are.
Oh, I know that one. It's Day Fine One from Fly Butter, Madam. Well, goodbye. So that's where they do Choice Wives House. Well, now I'd like to see the children's hour at work. I've heard so much about it lately.
This way. There's the door.
Oh, look at the notice, too. Transmission in progress. Watch the wed light. Oh, how charming. Well, I'll go in now.
So, children, Sweeney Todd, wiping the blood off his razor, press the button and let the body disappear into the cellar below, where it was made into meat pies and sold on the streets of London. Good night, children. Sleep well.
How horrible. So that's why kiddies grow up like me. Now, what's the time? Good gracious, it must be nearly time for the news. I can hear Stuart Hibbert gargling. I'll pop in and see. Yes, there he is, rehearsing.
This is the 9 o'clock news. Reports which have just come in indicate that the weather will steadily deteriorate until it will be absolutely unbearable. The state of the world generally has become perfectly deplorable during the last 24 hours. In Paris, for instance...
Oh, just a minute, Stuart. This is terrible. Why can't you make all this bad news sound funnier?
But, Mr. Hanley, this is the 9 o'clock news. What would we all do without the 9 o'clock news?
Well, listen to 20 questions. Well, here, let me have a go. I'll brighten it up. Come on, girls. I'll start with program parade.
Early morning physical jerks, come and do your bit, ma. Symphony concerts all day long, 8:30 it's ma.
Now into the dance, girls, come on. Jump.
Mr. Handler, who are these hussies running round the studios in bathing costumes?
Well, I don't know their names, I've only got their telephone numbers.
It's disgraceful. Who's listening to this rubbish anyway?
You'd be surprised. Now, here's the weather forecast. The Air Ministry reports that sunshine will continue and no rain is expected for weeks. Oh, bother, they are wrong again. Well, let's have some good food news. Now, following his latest announcement, crowds of grateful housewives serenaded the food minister last night, and here is a recording of the scene. Come on, girls.
Give us 6 pair of more, and this 6 pair of more. Good evening, it's so hard to digest.
And no decent cook would be bothered with snook. Oh, the ball's gone, wouldn't it? All right, well, while I'm on the subject of food, I have in the studio one of our greatest experts on malnutrition. He specializes in fruit, vegetables, and nuts, Mr. Wideboy. And here is his seasonable clarion call to the nation.
Apple a pound, pair of fine, lovely, 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 lovely.
There you go. Thank you for your Christmas message, Noel Coward. Now the football results. Come on, girls.
Tommy Lawton scores for Knox according to the rules, boys. Brentford won away from home. And goes your pools, boys.
Oh, dash it. I could just do with that £30,000. That's key money for a flat I've seen. Anyway, thank you, girls.
Mr. Handley, I beg of you, stop this tomfoolery at once.
I'm enjoying myself doing a news bulletin.
Well, nobody else is.
Ah, that's because we haven't had a quiz yet. We'll have one now. Now, come on, girls. I'll sit on a plate of cold meat and be pickles. Now, Miss Sarah, will you have a go? How old are you, miss?
49.
Eh, what a lovely age. Are you courting?
No, I'm married.
Eh, he's a lucky chap. Where is he now?
In prison, thanks.
He's a lucky chap. Give her the five, Bob Barney. Well, what are you going to do with it, love?
I don't like to say.
Oh, go on, whisper it. You can't get a pair of those for £5. What a hope she's got a dollar for nylons. Well, that's quite enough of the quiz for one night. Now, I think I'll go and have a look at another room.
Another room, sir, certainly.
Go away, Colonel.
I'm sorry.
I'm getting nowhere near making a report.
Mr. Handley, there's a most extraordinary man outside who says it's urgent.
Hey, well, show him in, show him in.
Mr. Handley?
Yes?
The Mr. Handley?
Oh, shucks.
Mr. Handley, I have the final solution to the problem of Broadcasting House.
Oh, and what's your name?
Guy Fawkes, Jr.
What? This way, sir, down the steps. Come on.